Minha Cris. Considered the case of computing eigenvalues of some particular kinds of matrices, say diagonal, triangular, polynomial in matrices.
If we have, we said one of the last
results, simple result, well known result, if Q is a generic polynomial in X, if we consider the matrix Q obtained by computing Q in A, we gave the obvious definition, this matrix, it is simple to see that it has, as eigenvalues, the numbers obtained computing Q in the eigenvalues of A. The same happens for a rational function. What is a rational function? Rational function can be written as the ratio between two polynomials, say Q and S. There is no problem in defining the matrix obtained by computing this rational function in A. The definition we replace, as in the case of polynomials, X by A. Here we find a ratio, divide this polynomial by the other polynomial. The division is replaced by the product by the inverse, so we have Q in A, we know what this means, we have S in A or A, the inverse, if this matrix is invertible, we multiply this inverse by Q of A, in this case this product is commutative, so we could also write the same matrix as the product of the two matrices in reverse order. In this particular case, the reason is that in both these objects we have the same matrix, so commutativity in this case holds. The result regarding the eigenvalues is that this matrix the eigenvalues of this matrix is, are simply we can put an index the ratios Q in lambda sub I over S in lambda sub I. So if we are in front of polynomials, rational functions, and we know the eigenvalues of the original matrix, it is simple to find, without starting again the computation, the eigenvalues of these matrices. It can also be shown that the eigenvectors are left unchanged, are the same. Why we introduce polynomial and also rational function? There is an unexpected
result regarding the behavior of polynomials computed in matrices, polynomial of matrices. This result is simple, is the following. If we find, if a polynomial, if a polynomial say Q again, Q of X is found with a certain degree n, the degree of Q is the integer n, such that this polynomial annihilates in A. If we compute Q, this polynomial in A, we find the null matrix. This is the square matrix with all zero entries. If we find a polynomial with this property, then any we can say better in this way, then the value of any polynomial in A can be expressed as the value of another polynomial of degree S strictly lower than n. Se si trova un polinomio che si annulla in una matrice, allora qualsiasi, avente un certo grado, degree n, qualsiasi polinomio calcolato in quella matrice, in quella stessa matrice, può essere, il valore può essere riottenuto, we can obtain the value in another form. What form? The value of another polynomial with lower degree. This other polynomial will have a degree s strictly less than n. Why? The reason comes from a theorem which will be proven at the end of the lesson, the so-called Cayley Cayley Hamilton. I didn't remember the second name. Cayley-Hamilton theorem, which says that given R square with complex entries, P of X or lambda, what you prefer, it's characteristic polynomial, then the characteristic polynomial of any matrix computed in the matrix itself gives value zero, null matrix. So
the characteristic polynomial is one of the polynomials which have that properties. So, assume that this is true. Let us give a simple example so you see what we are speaking about. Example. A 2x2 matrix. The characteristic polynomial P of lambda is this is the trace of the matrix 2 plus 0 with the sign minus. Here we have the determinant, so 2 by 0 minus minus 1 plus 1. This is the characteristic polynomial.
If you compute this polynomial in A, its values will be A squared minus 2 by A plus. The constant is replaced by the same constant by the identity matrix. But if you substitute for A this matrix, you will find the zero matrix. Some immediate consequence of this result, Cayley-Anderson theorem. Say this as a remark, but it has a deep meaning. Consequence for invertible matrices. If you know that P in A is zero, you multiply by the inverse of A if A is invertible. See this on the example. You we find in the example the inverse, the characteristic polynomial, zero. Multiply, you have easily have from this relation, from this equation, an explicit formula for the inverse. The inverse in this example must be equal to this matrix. This is what is true in general. What you see in this example is true in general in the sense that we can state that for invertible matrices, the inverse is a polynomial in A. A polynomial of degree strictly less than n. Here, you see that the degree of this polynomial in A is 1. The degree of this polynomial cannot
be greater than n minus 1. So, let us go on with the theorem. Assume that this is true. Why any polynomial can be, in some sense, reduced to the polynomial of degree less than n? So, this is the polynomial Q, which is supposed to annihilate in A. We consider another polynomial G. Generic. Let us suppose that G has degree larger than or equal to M. Then divide G by Q. The division, this is, we represent with this formula the division of two polynomials, G and Q. This is the result, and then here will be the remainder, the rest of la divisione, R of X. We know that the degree of R is strictly less than n. Strictly less. Because it is the remainder. Il resto, il polinomio resto, ha grado strettamente minore del grado di Q, of the degree of Q. Then, consider, let us consider the same polynomials computed in A. You will find G. G A Q A S A plus F A. Kelly Hamilton, Q in A is the zero matrix. So this term disappears. And here we find the simple result, the value of G in A is equal to the value of the remainder in A. It is not true. G and R are two different polynomials, but their values, when we compute them in A, are the same. All this has the following meaning. It makes no sense to consider polynomials in a matrix of degree larger than n. So it makes sense to consider polynomials in a generic matrix only if the degree is less, strictly less, than the size of the matrix. The proof of the Cayley-Hamilton theorem. In order to see the proof can be accomplished in several ways. You will find an elementary proof in the PDF file at page 4. It is didactically more useful to show the Cayley-Hamilton theorem using a canonical form for the matrix, for the given matrix. So, let us give a first look over the main canonical forms. For matrices. What are canonical forms? Generally speaking, canonical forms are structurally defined matrices which have some simplifying property. Simplifying with regard to the problems, the various problems in which the matrix can be involved, say the computational eigenvalues, the solution of linear systems. So canonical forms can be diagonal form. Triangular form, or other form more complicated. We consider essentially only this case, possibly extended to blocks. The most famous, I could say, canonical forms is the so-called Jordan. Canonical form, which is both triangular, upper triangular, and block diagonal. We will give the definition soon. Triangular, but it is also block diagonal. The second canonical form which we could consider is the Schur canonical form. Schur canonical form, which is only triangular, upper triangular, triangular superiore. Come possiamo arrivare a queste forme canoniche partendo dalla matrice? In which way we can obtain structure of these two kinds starting from the given matrix? The way is a transformation, which you already know, that is the similarity transformation. So the problem is starting from A generic, performing a similarity transformation, obtain one of these forms. What does it mean, similarity transformation? Similarity transformation is obtained by multiplying given an invertible matrix S, given S invertible,
we multiply the matrix A on the right by S and on the left by the inverse of S. The result, let us call it B, will be the transformer matrix.
But the question is, given a generic matrix, is it possible to find a similarity transformation such that the final matrix B is in canonical form? Remark, this is obvious, but it is always useful to stress this aspect. The similarity transformations maintain, keep unchanged, the eigenvalues. So if we start from A, we will obtain a matrix B with the same eigenvalues. So if B is in canonical form, say triangular, diagonal, block diagonal, the computation of eigenvalues will be easier. If B is diagonal, we know immediately the eigenvalues because they lie on the main diagonal. The answer
for the first
canonical form: any matrix can be reduced, transformed in Jordan canonical form. The Jordan canonical form, so the result will not prove this result. Any matrix is reducible or transformable by a similarity transformation to J Jordan canonical form. Well, the moment is now to define J. J, the Jordan canonical form, is defined in this way. Definition: definition of J. J, let us say before that we have P distinct eigenvalues. P autovalori distinti. P is less than or equal to n, where n is the size. Just remember that for any eigenvalue, we have two integers. Sigma of lambda sub I, that is called algebraic multiplicity, and tau of the same eigenvalue, which is called geometric multiplicity. These two integers are related by an inequality, in the sense that for each eigenvalue, tau is larger or equal to 1, but less or equal to sigma. So, with this notation, the characteristic polynomial of A is, as usual, given matrix. P can be written, if we have colored the eigenvalues with lambda sub I, as the coefficient of lambda to the n. And here we can multiply all the monomials. This is the usual factorization of any polynomial, lambda minus lambda sub I. I starts from 1 and goes up to p, the number of distinct eigenvalues. Here we have the algebraic multiplicities, the power, the exponents of the powers are sigma of the corresponding lambda sub I. For instance, if we consider the identity matrix, the trivial example of the identity matrix, its characteristic polynomial can be simply written as the eigenvalues, the only value of the eigenvalues is 1, and the multiplicity is of n. Well, J, the canonical form. J can be described in terms of eigenvalues and their multiplicities. Specifically, J is a block diagonal matrix with blocks. Let me use the same indices. This means we help us with some scheme. If we have only three distinct eigenvalues, we will have J sub 1, J sub 2, J sub G. Their sizes, wait a moment, each JE is again a block diagonal. The diagonal blocks are usually called C with indices. I down and J over, where these blocks, these diagonal blocks, can be described in terms of entries, of elements. These matrices, these blocks C, are square blocks along the main diagonal. We will have the corresponding eigenvalues lambda sub I. All entries equal to 1 along the adjacent diagonal on the upper part, 0 otherwise, elsewhere. So this is upper and B diagonal of a very particular form. The sizes. The number of blocks of this kind is exactly the geometric multiplicity of lambda sub I. So
J starts from 1 and ends on
tau geometric multiplicity of lambda sub I. The sizes of these blocks, they are called mu
I J, mu I J.
The bound, the condition, the assumption, the requirement, this is not an assumption, the requirement over these sizes is that there are sum of these sizes, the sum of J is the geometric multiplicity. The algebraic, sigma is the algebraic multiplicity, sigma of lambda e. This description can appear a bit confusing, so we have sufficient time to prove the Cayley-Hamilton theorem. So in the 3 minutes left, let us give a possible example of a Jordan canonical form of a given matrix. This is only a we will not make any computation. Suppose that A is square of size 6. Suppose we know that there are only two distinct eigenvalues, say 2 and minus 1. And suppose that we know there are multiplicities. The algebraic for the first, say 4, the sum of the algebraic multiplicities must make 6, so we have necessarily 2. The corresponding geometric multiplicities are less, some integers less or equal to the corresponding sigma. So let's assume that we have 2, and here we have 2 again. Then, how J is made according to the definition that we saw before? Six by six. Two blocks of type J sub I. Diagonal blocks. The first with size 4 and the second relative to the eigenvalue, the first eigenvalue, the second base with size 2 relative to the second eigenvalue. 0, 0. Inside these two diagonal blocks, there will be the blocks C. How many blocks of type C will we find here? We looked at the geometric multiplicity. This is 2. So we could have 2 blocks of type C, 3 by 3, 1 by 1, or also 2 and 2. This is possible. The theorem does not say this. This value should be computed with a complicated procedure. So the Jordan canonical form is essentially one, but the statement does not say if we are in the situation of having sizes 3 and 1 or 2 and 2.
3 and 1 and 1
and 3 are equivalent because we can permute rows and columns, but 3 and 1 and 2 and 2 are not geometrically equivalent. So only one of these two assignments holds. Suppose that the situation is 3 and 1.
We have a block C of the form, the eigenvalue repeated 3 times.
Diagonal, main diagonal, the diagonal on the upper part.
0, 0. I repeat all the 0 entries.
Here, the other block C, relative to the eigenvalue
2. Yeah. Again, 2. The block C is 1 by 1,
so we don't see the adjacent diagonal.
The other eigenvalue.
Geometric multiplicity 2.
So here inside we must have 2 blocks
C.
But the size is 2 by 2, so the only possibility,
in this case, easily identify the only possible form
will be minus 1, 0, 0.
The structures reread in terms of C is
C.
The index of the eigenvalue is down.
1, 1, C, 1, 2, and C, 2, 1.
In terms of what C, the structure is this. So we see that both the properties, both the structures are present. Triangular, upper triangular in terms of entries, of elements, but also block diagonal. So we hope here any matrix can be transformed. This is a hard job to obtain a transformation, but theoretically any matrix can be reduced to a form defined in this way. Mandy, any question? Well, we'll continue on Thursday at 9.
Thank you.